It's Friday, October 5th. I'm Colm Quinn, and welcome to The Readout. This week, we're discussing cyber espionage with two big stories dominating. In a rare show of coordination, the governments of the Netherlands, UK, Canada, and the US all pointed the finger at Russian intelligence services for hacks of organizations ranging from FIFA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, as well as Westinghouse, a US nuclear energy company. Russia has laughed off the allegations, calling them Western spy mania, but it's this show of unity from the West that we'll be exploring today. But first, the magazine Bloomberg Businessweek published a bombshell story outlining how Chinese intelligence services created a backdoor into the servers of both Apple and Amazon by embedding tiny microchips in their motherboards, themselves manufactured in China. It's a claim that both Apple and Amazon have strongly denied. So here to tease out the truth of it all is Jim Lewis, our resident cyber expert and head of our tech policy program at CSIS.
You know, right now the evidence is mixed. Certainly some of the things in the Bloomberg story I know to be true. So the idea that the Chinese government would go to a factory and say, help us or else, there's many examples of that, you know, and that's just common practice. Sometimes they invite them to what they call drink tea. Come down to the Ministry of State Security office and drink tea. And in the tea drinking, it's suggested that you might want to help the motherland. This is supposed to be the PLA, but they've done stuff like that too. Just show up and say, cooperate or else. And so it's very difficult, if not impossible, for a company in China. No, let me rephrase that. It's impossible for a company in China to say
and
no.
And is it always a hardware thing?
No, that's what's unusual. And so the data on the other side is you have strong denials from the companies. Strong and kind of plausible. And you also have the fact that this was a supply chain, allegedly a supply chain attack that would have been easier to do with a traditional software hack, network hack. So there's evidence on both sides, and we're just going to have to wait and see how this plays out.
How do companies check for this? I mean, do they check for this?
They do check, and that's part of the reason the company denials were so strong, is that they... you know, in this case, we know that a third-party auditor in Canada, and there are Canadian firms that specialize in this kind of checking, and they're good at it, was asked to look at the hardware before these companies bought from the particular supplier that used the Chinese components. And you get mixed results. The companies say the auditor didn't find anything. Bloomberg says no, you know, ongoing government investigation. So we don't know yet. I mean, I know that's an unsatisfactory answer, but you've got evidence on both sides. In the past, it's always been easier to do the traditional hack, to hack over the network and do the software. Hardware's hard. You have to really know stuff. But we also know, one, the Chinese think about this kind of supply chain hack, and the U.S. in particular is deeply worried about it.
Why would the Chinese do this?
Because if you can get into somebody's machinery, basically, it can be harder to detect, right? It can give you greater access. So it's more expensive. It requires a lot more skill. But if you can do it, you can gain real intelligence advantage. And the Chinese used to take Western chips and, you know, saw them in half to look for vulnerabilities and put them under, you know, X-ray microscopes and the whole bit. So they've been fascinated with the idea of infected chips for more than a decade.
Well, there's one thing that makes me kind of still unsure about it is the blowback. If you're Apple or Amazon and you find some sort of vulnerability like this, shouldn't your first thought immediately be, I'm dropping that supplier or I'm moving back to America or changing my supply chain full stop?
Apple did drop the supplier a couple years ago because they found problems with firmware, which is kind of a middle layer between the hardware and the software. And that in that case, they took quick action. They returned servers. They uninstalled stuff that they had bought. And so if they had known, you would have thought they would have done something similar. So as I say, the evidence is on both sides. Bloomberg usually does a pretty good job of reporting, and this is one where you wouldn't want to get caught out saying something that's wrong. On the other hand, Americans are so allergic to the growing supply chain risk as China makes more and more stuff, and the company's strong denial makes you think there's, you know, you can argue the case either way right now.
So knowing what you know, does it lean on the balance that of possibilities that it's likely that this happened?
This will happen eventually, right? Just because the Chinese have been talking about it literally since 2004 and probably among themselves before then. They suspect that the chips they buy from the U.S. are rigged and have a backdoor in them. And that kind of indicates how they're thinking. And as we see China move more and more into the production of microelectronics, the temptation is going to be there for the PLA and other Chinese agencies. Companies can't say no. That means this is something we need to think about in the future. Whether it happened now is another thing. And when I say think about in the future, the U.S. started worrying about this kind of supply chain risk probably about 15 years ago, that we were going to end up depending on the Chinese. And so we said, oh, gosh, we're going to end up depending on the Chinese. And for 15 years, we really didn't do very much. So here we are. So when I say worry about in the future is in the next 2 or 3 years.
And if you're a listener to this show today, should you be worried? Is it more kind of state to state industrial espionage that's happening, or is this something that could actually affect?
No, the Chinese basically do traditional espionage aimed at military technology, advanced technology. There's debate over whether they're living up to their 2015 agreement to stop commercial espionage. Most people say they are. Some people say they aren't. Some people say it's eroding. But if you're in an advanced tech field, even a small startup, if you're military or make military technology, those are the targets. But if you're, you know, a think tank, one, why would they bother? And two, you're probably not a real risk.
Because we're doing such great work, Jim. That's why they
bother. Oh, I forgot. Sorry. Yes, you can cut that part out. No. But no, this is a high-end sort of attack. I mean, to design a specific chip is not cheap. And then to think about how to disguise it so it looked like a regular part of the equipment, you know, that takes skill, it takes money. Most people are just going to hack. So only the high-end targets will get this sort of loving care.
We now shift to the joint allegations made by the Netherlands, UK, Canada, and the US against Russia for its recent hacking exploits. Jim sees it as a watershed moment.
To have all these nations come out in a coordinated way and condemn Russia is the interesting part here. Not that the Russians are doing it. They've been doing it for more than a decade. What's interesting is that the West is finally getting its act together. And I saw this as a test run. Can a group of like-minded nations, smaller than NATO, come together to condemn Russian activities? And you can imagine what the next step is.
Why was it this time that they came together to do it?
I think that people have been working on this since the events of 2016, people being the Western countries, because you saw the Russians interfere with the Swedes, the Germans, the Dutch, the British, the Americans, poking around in some other places. And the Five Eyes in particular, and what you might call Five Eyes Plus, have been wrestling with the question of, you know, what do we do back? How do we coordinate in pushing back against Russia? You know, how do we involve NATO? And you saw some of that with Secretary Mattis this week as well. So there's been an effort to come up with ways to respond to a much more aggressive Russia when it comes to espionage and cyber activities.
And what is that reaction? What should it be?
The question is, how far are we going to be pushed? And I think this was a nice effort to give the Russians a hint that maybe they ought to back off. Let's see if they take it. If they don't take it, then we're going to have to up the game. And people always say, oh, but the Obama administration was always worried that this would lead to escalation or the Russians would have their feelings hurt or something. We are going to need to think of if there are additional measures we can take against Russian entities to punish them. And the mantra is that the punishment should be painful but temporary and reversible. So not, you know, like something that you do actual damage, but people are now beginning to say, let's push back. We'll do it with things like this, with outing the GRU. And if that's enough, if that works, fine. If it's not enough, then we'll be confronted. We, the Western nations, will be confronted with the need to think of something new. It's interesting that, when you compare the styles of the Russians and the Chinese when it comes to cyber espionage, most people would say the Russians are just noisier. The Chinese used to be noisy, and that was because they didn't care if they got caught. They knew we weren't going to do anything. The Russians now are acting like they don't care if they get caught. You can put the guy's picture on every website in the world, and it's they kind of sneer at it. So that tells me we're probably going to see more of this and some escalation in the future. And on the other hand, the Chinese, after 2015 and the OPM hack and Obama's unhappiness, they really cleaned up their act in two ways. One, they changed their targeting. They don't do as much commercial espionage. And two, they become much quieter, much harder to detect. So now the Russians are noisy, don't seem to care when they're caught. And the Chinese are much more skillful at evading detection.
What's an example of a Western reaction, though? What is that escalation? What would it look like?
So one of the questions that people have been asking is there was a set of operations begun under the previous administration by Secretary Carter, carried out by something called Joint Task Force ARES. This was it was anti-ISIS cyber operations. I think the people who did Joint Task Force ARES would tell you they had some successes. This was done in coordination with some of our allies. The allies actually were a bit more aggressive than we were. Could we do something like what was done in Joint Task Force ARES?
Do we know what was done? Is that open?
Do we know and can we say? Those are different questions.
Can we say?
We can't say. Okay. So, but I think Cyber Command would tell you it was successful. You know, it's successful within the realm of cyber, but you could think of a long set of discussions that have been going on since spring of 2016 of, do we leak damaging information about the Russians? Do we put pressure on the Russians by interfering with some of their nefarious financial activities? Do we take action against places like the Internet Research Bureau in St. Petersburg? Are there other things we can do? So far, the preference has been to stay at lower levels, to use indictments, naming, sanctions. And the question is, if the Russians take the hint and slow down, that's enough. If they don't, we'll be confronted with this need to do something more. And my favorite story, which I've said many times, is one of the things that the U.S. thought about doing in 2016 and ultimately chose not to do was to leak Vladimir Putin's Botox injection schedule. And so that I was really happy about that because he always looks so stern and his face never moves. Now we know why, because he's getting Botox. But I didn't think that was very much of a deterrent. You know, that's like, Vlad, if you don't back off, we're going to leak your Botox injection schedule. Not clear to me that was going to scare him.
Doesn't seem like a guy who's that susceptible to embarrassment anyway.
That's the problem, is that, and that's one of the things that's going on in with the Russians, is think about all they've done in the last couple of years. They've shot down a civilian airliner. They've invaded a neighboring country. They've interfered in the politics of several Eastern European states. They've interfered in the democratic processes of probably half a dozen NATO allies in ways that are both flagrant. They've done poisonings in the UK. That's amazing, right? And so they seem to be picking up the pace when it comes to hostile actions. One of the problems we have is this isn't war. And if this was the Fulda Gap in the 1980s, we would know exactly what to do. The Fulda Gap was one of the places where the Russian tanks would come roaring through when they invaded Western Europe. We are all set to fight the Cold War, and the Russians have figured out maybe there's a different way to coerce, and we're having trouble coming up with an answer. But to our Russian friends who may be listening, do not think that we will not come up with an answer. Do not think that you will not eventually have to face some repercussions because of this, because democracies are slow, but once they start to change course, it's hard to get them to change course back. So that's the situation with the Russians. The Chinese are a little different because it's more of a traditional espionage game. And they would say, why are you guys complaining? You do the same thing. We don't do the same thing in that we don't infect the supply chain at the source the way the Chinese are alleged to have done. But that's going to be a more difficult problem to deal with because it's a reflection of the larger political dispute between the Chinese and the Americans. And the Chinese Communist Party is a Leninist entity. They are innately hostile to the United States. And how we manage that, particularly in current days, is probably the bigger strategic. The immediate strategic challenge is Russia. The long-term strategic challenge is China. And again, we've been slow to come up with responses. What did we do with South China Sea? What have we done with a lot of Chinese operations around the world that are linked to espionage? So when people say Belt and Road, that comes with a gift from the Chinese that includes sharing your information. Right now, the U.S. and its allies do not have good answers for Russia and China, but I would be willing to bet that 5 years from now, that will not be the case.
And that was Jim Lewis, the head of our tech policy program, bringing this week's show to a close. We'll, of course, be back with more next week. So until then, if you have any feedback on the show, you can email me at cquinn@csis.org or find me on Twitter. That's it from me. I'm Colm Quinn. Thanks for listening.